When Denise Moore finally made her way out of New Orleans, she had been at the convention center. She was surprised to see the coverage.
I kept hearing the word animal, and I didn't see animals. We were trapped like animals, but I saw the greatest humanity I've ever seen from the most unlikely places.
Denise Moore eventually ended up at the convention center with her mom, her niece, and her niece's two-year-old daughter. But the day before the storm, because Denise's mom worked at Memorial Hospital in New Orleans, and because hospital employees are allowed to stay there during hurricanes, all of them went to the hospital. They were given a room to stay in, but later they were kicked out of the room for two white nurses.
Yeah, so I got really mad,
mm-hmm.
You know, so I went home. And so went to the house. I set up my twin bed in the hallway. The hallway, supposedly, structurally, is the best place to be when, if the building's going to be moving around if there's high wind.
Mm-hmm.
And good thing I did. Somewhere around 5 o'clock in the morning, I jumped up out of bed. The ceiling started crashing down around me. I was riding that bed like a horse. I was so scared. I had never been that scared for that long. We lived on the second floor, so I was scared it was going to fall through. That even in the hallways, that the building was swaying so much that I'd fall through the floor and end up injured down there and nobody would find me. And next thing I know, the water is pouring through the ceiling. I was like, well, and people were calling on the phone. You should have stayed at the hospital. It was ridiculous. I was scared, fearing for my life for 8 full hours. My heart was in my throat. I was like, oh, no, when this is over, I'm coming back to the hospital. And so I went back to the hospital.
Can I ask you, before you tell what happens next, why not just evacuate?
Well, first of all, my mom is essential personnel, so she couldn't leave. I don't have a car, so I couldn't leave. My niece was going to go with her mother, but we didn't want them to get trapped on the highway in the storm with the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought it would be safer to just stay at the hospital because we rode out the last hurricane at home, but we sent my niece to the hospital with her baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just been the way it goes. The hospital was the safest place to be if you were going to stay in the city.
So you walk back to the hospital, and what do you find there?
Well, there's a lot of people roaming around with their kids, and we're sharing food, and we're having a good old time, just waiting for a chance to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
Then the levees broke. And the next morning, I was able to go back to the house because I wanted to pick up my degrees. I earned them.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to make sure they weren't wet. And frankly, I was looking for a carton of cigarettes that I knew was in that house somewhere.
And so did you find the cigarettes?
I found the cigarettes.
And were they dry?
And I found my degrees, and mm-hmm. I grabbed my vital papers, my Social Security card. None of that was wet because it was in a little purse. And I brought my vital papers back to the hospital, and my mom and Sydney were going to go back to the house to go get theirs. But the water started rising. So within a couple of hours, you weren't able to get back to the house. You know, it just kept rising. We thought, okay, now we're trapped in here, and we don't know how high this water's going to get.
Mm-hmm.
So it finally covered the basement, so the generators went out. Covered the first floor.
And when you say covered the first floor, was it actually coming inside the hospital building?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the heartbreaking thing was watching them turn people away who had waded through that water to get to the hospital for safe haven. It was amazing. It was heartbreaking.
How often did you see that?
You know, that happened over and over again. The person who sticks out most in my mind is a man who had his wife and his two children, and his baby and his daughter were so dehydrated. The people were yelling at him, you can't come in here. And so the people, we were on the smoking patio, which is on the second floor, and so we saw them, and we were yelling at him, man, leave the baby, man, leave the baby. And he was like, I can't leave my baby. We don't have a house. How am I going to find my baby if I leave him with you? I don't know where you're going to take him. And been in this water for 2 days, and, you know, it was devastating to just see that. And then we knew that nobody was going to be able to come up in there, and so the people on the smoking balcony, we would, like, throw them water, and we try to throw them food. And
where'd they send him to?
I don't know. We don't know where he went. But I did find out later that they were letting in people with gunshot wounds and snake bites, so it wasn't like they turned everybody away. It was just that I guess they were thinking, we got 3,000 people in this hospital we have to evacuate. We cannot take on any more responsibility, you know.
Yeah.
So I understood why they had to turn them away. It was just heartbreaking to see.
Yeah. So you were in the hospital until, and there's no power in the hospital, but there's water, and it sounds like there's food, too.
We didn't have water after that first night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we ran out of everything, you know, because people were sharing with each other, and we just thought we'd be able to go home in a minute.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like you survived the hurricane. I was a happy camper because I had been more scared than I had ever been in my life, and I walked out of there, you know, so who knew?
So how long were you in the hospital? How many days? When did you get out?
2 days, and then we were transported to that corner. And what we heard is that we were going to be dropped off by boat to a corner, and the buses would pick us up, and we would be heading to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we were told.
And then the buses come, and they take you where?
It wasn't buses. It was the police had to commandeer vehicles. They were asking people in the crowd if they knew how to drive trucks and buses. They were stealing them. The police had to steal vehicles. And so it was totally different than what we anticipated.
Wait, they're just taking any random, like, truck and hot-wiring
buses.
It?
Yeah.
And so what was the vehicle that you got to the next place in? Like, what were you in?
There was a key and lock van.
Right, locksmith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happened to be driving around, and the police made him start taking us.
And then you go to where?
We go to the convention center. And when we arrived, there were people all on the street under the bridge. And we were like, why are these people on the street? Why aren't they in the convention center? And when we got there, people were saying, you don't want to go in there.
Did you go inside at all?
Not until the next day.
What'd you see?
Inside?
Yeah.
A sewer. A sewer, literally. Because I had to use the bathroom. And I was like, where's the bathroom? So I went inside. The whole place was a bathroom. Stepping in feces, stepping in urine, all over the carpets. I mean, I used to work at the convention center. It was just, that was hard to see.
Hmm.
It was a beautiful building. And it was a toilet. And people were sitting close as they could to the doors, but the smell was overwhelming.
So like, then what do you do? Like, what's the best you can do?
I actually stopped eating the minute we got there. I wouldn't eat or drink anything. Because I figure if you don't put nothing in, nothing's coming out. I was in the Army. But
yeah.
Even at that, I still had to use the bathroom. It was ridiculous. So what I ended up doing was getting a cup, going behind a partition, having a guy guard me while I was relieving myself in a cup behind some partition in the convention center.
Yeah.
And I got all kind of stuff on my feet. And thank God it started raining because I have a really sensitive nose. I was sitting down and I could smell the crap on my feet.
And where'd you all sleep?
We slept on the sidewalk. This place, there was trash all over the ground outside, and I was thinking, how are the girls going to even lay down with their babies? There's not a spot that's clean, nothing. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere to lay down,
mm-hmm.
You know? And then what my mom wanted me to make sure I tell you, what they kept doing the whole time was tell us to line up for the buses that never came. It was like they were doing drills every 4 hours. You all have to line up for the bus, and if you bum rush the bus, they're just going to take off without you, and nobody's going to get to go anywhere. You have to line up. You have to be in a straight line. We're talking about old people in wheelchairs and women with babies in lines waiting for buses that you know goddamn well aren't coming. Like they were playing with us. I figured it out early in the morning, but what am I supposed to do, make an announcement? The buses aren't coming. And so I walked up to the so-called head guy in charge of our section, and I told him, I said, why do you have these people sitting out here in this sun? And you know these buses aren't coming. The buses are coming. I said, you're just playing with us. Who gives you the authority to keep lining us up like this, to stand in this heat? He was like, well, I know the guy who can make the call for the buses. I said, well, why hasn't he called them? People are dying. He said, I wish I could tell you what you wanted to hear. I said, I want to hear the truth. Are the buses coming or not? We need to get these old people and these babies out of this heat. And then he just walked away. And we were left there without help, without food, without water, without sanitary conditions, as if it's perfectly all right for these animals to reside in a freaking sewer like rats. Because there was nothing but black people back there.
Yeah.
And disposable. And then the story became, they left us here to die. They're going to kill us.
You mean that's what people were saying to each other?
Yeah.
And is that what you believed?
I was almost convinced.
That basically...
Because I kept having a vision of them opening that floodgate on us.
Mm-hmm.
Of my niece and her baby floating away from me screaming. And I just knew it. And then the next morning... I heard from somebody that they actually were going to open that floodgate. So by the time the rumor started that the National Guard was going to kill us, and I almost halfway believed it.
And so people were saying basically they just brought us here, they're going to leave us here to die?
Yeah, that's what we thought. The police kept passing us by. And the National Guard kept passing us by with their guns pointed at us. And because they wouldn't. When you see a truck full of water and people have been crying for water for a day and a night, and the water truck passes you by, just keeps going, how are we supposed to believe these people were here to help us? It was almost like they were taunting us. And then don't forget, they kept lining us up for buses that never showed up.
Yeah.
We thought they were playing with us. In that best case scenario and in worst case scenario, they wanted us to either kill each other or die. Or they were going to kill us.
So we keep hearing in the news about violence inside the convention center and people getting killed and women being raped. Did you know about any of that when you were there?
The convention center is section A through J, I believe. Mm-hmm. We were about at H. And we could hear kind of craziness going on the further ends in either direction. But where we are was mostly old people and women with children, and I didn't see anybody get raped. I did see people die. I saw one man die, and I saw a girl and her baby die. But I didn't see anybody getting hurt.
And talk about, now, there were men just kind of like roaming with guns, packs of men, and just...
They were securing the area. Criminals. These guys were criminals. They were, you know.
Yeah.
But somehow these guys got together, figured out who had guns, and decided they were going to make sure that no women were getting raped, because we did hear about the women getting raped in the Superdome, and, you know, that nobody was hurting babies and nobody was hurting these old people. They were the ones getting juice for the babies. They were the ones getting clothes for people who had walked through that water. They were the ones fanning the old people, because that's what moves the guys, the gangster guys, the most, the plight of the old people. That's what haunts me the most, seeing those old people sitting in them chairs and not being able to get up and walk around or nothing.
Mm-hmm. And so these were just guys from the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
What else were they doing?
They started looting on St. Charles and St. Charles and Napoleon. There was a Rite Aid there, and they, you know, you would think that they would be stealing stuff that, you know, fun stuff or whatever, because it's a free city according to them, right? But they were taking juice for the baby, water, beer for the older people, food, raincoats so that they could all be seen, you know, by each other and stuff. And, you know, I thought it was pretty cool and very well organized.
And did you see this yourself? These guys,
yeah,
go
I was
off?
Right there.
And so basically they went off to this Rite Aid, they got the stuff, they brought it back and started distributing it?
Mm-hmm.
Like Robin Hood?
Yeah, exactly like Robin Hood. And that's why I got so mad, because they're calling these guys animals. These guys. That's what got to me. Because I know what they did.
Yeah.
You calling these people animals? You know, come on. And I saw what they did, and I was really touched by it, and I liked the way that they were organized about it and that they were thoughtful about it, because they had families they couldn't find, too.
Yeah.
You know, and that they would put themselves out like that on other people's behalf.
Yeah.
You know, I never had a real high opinion of thugs myself, but I tell you one thing, I'll never look at them the same way again.
Why didn't people just walk away? That's what I don't understand.
Couldn't you just... weren't allowed. The police, people kept trying to go up the bridge so they can go to Algiers, and they'd be turned away, and they'd be sent back down.
Literally, they would just like go a couple streets away, and somebody would send them back?
They'd go up the bridge,
right,
to go across to the West Bank where it was dry,
right,
and lights were on, you know, and the National Guard was up there with guns. They turned them back with guns, and the governor gave orders to shoot to kill. You couldn't get through them.
Yeah.
So people would go up the bridge. Every time they lined us up for the buses and the buses wouldn't come, people in groups would go up the bridge trying to get across the river. People who had family across the river couldn't get across the river. They were not letting us out of there. They wasn't letting nobody in. So we were trapped. I can't even express it.
Yeah.
The tears get close to my eyes, and I have this feeling in the pit of my stomach, like if I start crying, the sobs will kill me. But I guess someday it'll calm down, and I'll be able to just cry like a normal person, but I feel like if I started crying now, I'd never stop.
Denise Moore, she's now in Baton Rouge. She's okay. She's just found a new job there.
If it keeps on raining, levee's going to break. If it keeps on raining, levee's going to break.